Remember, Jesus just finished the Sermon on the Mount. He's closed the message. We have that final summary in verse 28 of chapter 7. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When he was come down from the mountain, and so there were many, many people there, and I would imagine that people came and people went, and more people went than people left, and back and forth, but there was, and we're told here, there was great multitudes. Not one great multitude, but great multitudes. The definite article is not there. So great multitudes were surrounding him as he came down the mountain. There they followed him. Why would they be following him? Because of what he had taught. Again, the end of verse, or the end of chapter 7, those last two verses, we get the idea that people were astounded by what they had heard. They were impressed, as well as should have been distressed by many of the things that they heard. This, we haven't heard this from the scribes and the Pharisees before. And he's teaching as one who has authority. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst or can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So what we have here is similar to what happened with Moses when he was on Mount Sinai, came down with the Ten Commandments, and came down amongst the people. Some have attributed this as a second view of the law. As the lawgiver, Jesus is the lawgiver. Moses was the representative of the law. And but before we get to this man who is obviously in physical distress because of the leprosy, the purpose of miracles is not to astonish people. It's not to exude great power. The purpose of miracles was to give validity to the message that Jesus had just preached. So he preaches these three chapters of great doctrine. And now he follows it up with a miracle. Not only was his preaching and his teaching a direct message from heaven, if you will, it was validated by this healing, which when you think about it, other than raising somebody from the dead, what better example could you show than to heal someone of a disease that no one had a cure for? In fact, as I researched this, there is no record in the Bible where somebody came back to the priest being healed from leprosy. Only this. So again, put yourself in the priest's situation as he's getting ready to meet up with this unnamed leper, and oh, he is whole. I know that he had leprosy. I saw him and declared him unclean. So what do I do now that he is clean? Well, you have to go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. So here Jesus performs this miracle of one of the least expected situations with regard to a leper losing fingers, body parts. We don't know how far his leprosy went, but we know for anybody to have touched a leper would make them not only ceremonial clean, but potentially physically unclean. And this is a picture of fallen humanity. We are like lepers before a holy God. And there is an immediacy of a need, just like this leper. Souls in danger look above. Jesus completely saves. There's a picture of that desperation. And while the physical was being requested, there was the deep need, obviously, for the eternal, the spiritual aspect of this man as well. So there are four things that are clearly observed here. We see a great multitude, and we could just surmise that that was larger than what was expected. They were in close proximity to Jesus because they were following after him, not just kind of from a distance, but they were following after him, not just following him. And people who were walking down from the mountain, some dispersed from him, others went with him. We get from the Gospel of Mark and Luke, they also provide some further information on this as to what Matthew is giving us, is that he was heading into Capernaum, and more than likely this leper was in Capernaum. And so there would have been a congregation of people around that inner city area. So there are people to witness this. There were people who knew that this who this leper was. There were people who had heard him shouting as he went through the streets, "Unclean, unclean," for that was required of a leper. And the people, having heard the sermon about God's holiness, were now going to become a witness of the miracle of raising a leper back to full living. Then there's also the great need, the leper. The word leper in the Greek is from the literal word scales. It's a disgusting disease. It starts as a little sore and then starts to eat through the skin, and I'll just leave it there. And if it's not addressed quickly enough, it will begin to take over. This leper had limitations. He was to keep his distance according to Leviticus 13 and 14, except he sees Jesus and prostrates himself. Immediately falls down. And many viewed this disease as the judgment of God on an individual's life. He got it because he deserved it. He did something really bad, and this is how God is judging him. And of course, we have examples throughout the Bible of Naaman. There's a man who had leprosy, refused to get into the muddy waters, but he did. And that was an Old Testament example of him being healed. But in the New Testament, we have no record other than this man. And he makes these loud overtures as he is approaching Christ. And he is very polite. He worships him. He speaks respectfully, "Lord." He is not demanding. He says, "If thou wilt do this." And I'm summarizing, paraphrasing here. He's saying, "I know you can do this." There's faith. Where'd that faith come from? He must have witnessed and heard the Lord Jesus prior to all of this. Could he possibly have been close to the mount where the sermon was preached? Maybe close, but he couldn't have been close to the people. He had to keep his distance. That was what was expected in the culture of the day. He speaks reverently about his divinity. He's Messiah, Jesus. He's calling him Lord. And then we see the testimony of his life is that if you are willing, I know you can do this. Maybe there were other miracles that Jesus had done prior to this that he either heard or witnessed the person who received the miracle. But this man is believing that Jesus can do anything. And leprosy was what would have been perceived in the minds of human beings as impossible. This man believed Jesus could perform a cure if he would. Sometimes we pray as Jesus did, not my will, but thy will be done. In essence, that's what this man is saying. I know you can do this if you're willing. I'm asking. And then verse 3, we find the great physician. We have a great multitude following him. We have a man with a great need, and now we have a great physician who reaches out to him. That was a no-no. You can just see the Pharisees getting hyperactive here. Ah, he touched a leper. But why would Jesus need to touch a leper when he's the great physician? He is God. He reached out, stretched out to him, and relieved him by the touch, saying, I will. That phrase, I will, is the reversal of cultural expectation. The Lord went against the culture of the day. Now, we're not calling him a revolutionary here. We're simply saying that Jesus was the fulfillment of all these expectations, of all these ceremonies, and all of these rituals that were given to the Jewish people. But this did not affect him physically. There was a real, relatable compassion that Jesus showed here. A person like this is not generally someone that we're attracted to have a conversation with. People who come to us or pass our path, who look like they've slept under the bridge, are not people that we're generally warmed up to have a conversation with, because we begin to imagine that they probably don't smell very well and probably have a lot of other problems that we're not quite sure how to deal with them. But we see Jesus' mind clearly presented here. He went to him as much as the leper went to Jesus. He went to him, he reached out to him, he related to him, he showed compassion to him, and he rejected the fear that many of us have when we speak to someone who's not quite like us. He lacked fear for himself. And then we find the great testimony in verse 4. Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man. Now, there's a lot of comments on this phrase here. Why would Jesus tell him not to tell anybody? Aren't we supposed to be telling people about the wonderful blessing of Jesus in our lives? Yes, we are. But Jesus had not officially started his earthly ministry in the sense of establishing his instruction to his disciples to the extent that he had planned. So he's just getting started here, and he's wanting this healed leper to keep it to himself. But notice, he's not wanting him just to be silent to himself. There is Old Testament law requirements. He wants him to fulfill the law. Now, there's no rest of the story here that says, and the priest did exactly what he should have done. But here's what Jesus tells him. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Unto who? Unto the priest. The priests are going to be astonished that you've come back completely whole. Again, we don't know what digits were missing, but they were back. That's what we get from the word healed. It wasn't just that the leprosy stopped and he lived with the scars of the disease. He was made whole. So what was he supposed to do after this healing? He was not to tell anyone, but to go to the priest first. He's to honor the law. Affirm the Mosaic law. Again, in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 and the verses following, give the steps to what needs to be done. He was to show himself, and then he was to present a sacrifice. And more than likely, this leper was not going to bring a lamb. He was going to bring turtle doves. And the priest would take the one dove and kill it, and then take the blood of that dove and put it on the living dove. Taking what was bad and putting it on that which is alive, and then send it off. He was to approach the priest, not just affirm the Mosaic law. Yeah, I get it, Jesus. I agree with what you're saying. No, he was to not just affirm it, but he was to go and approach the priest. They were the only ones who could officially declare the healing, that this leper had been cleansed. And I equate a little bit of that with our personal testimony. We're the only one who can share what Jesus did for us. No one else can tell other people what Jesus did for us the way that we can tell other people what Jesus did for us when he saved us. And then guess what would happen? And I love what a couple of the Bible commentators have discussed here on this, because I agree with this notion that once that healed leper presented himself back to the priest who declared him unclean, they would be goggling over him. Like, last time we checked you, you had no fingers. And now you've got all 10. And they're not even scarred. They're like brand new, whatever brand new looks like. And guess what the priest would do? They'd be talking. Remember that leper? He came back. And his leprosy just didn't stop. He had his fingers back. He had his nostril back. He had his ear back. He didn't have scales on his skull anymore. There was actually hair growing. And they would spread the news. The leper was healed. He was helped. And he got to share what Jesus did for him. And they became the voice of the good news to those around him. Even though they were not believers of Jesus, you could not deny what this man had demonstrated in his own physical being, that he had been healed. And there was a crowd that saw what Jesus did by touching him. They heard the words that Jesus spoke by speaking to him. Now, granted, they would have been at a very far away at a distance, but close enough to be able to see and hear what was going on. And then to watch that man come up and walk away looking different than what he approached Jesus. That's the power of the Lord. Remember, the theme of Matthew, Jesus, King of the Jews. He's king. The king is also the great physician. The king is also the great redeemer. The king is also the one who greatly restores. The king is the great forgiver. Jesus is more. And he's more than what problems we have. And he is worthy of more obedience. He's worthy of our sharing the great news that Jesus saves. He may not deliver us from physical problems, but he is ready to deliver us from the spiritual problems of life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessing of being able to get back into the Gospel of Matthew and for this brief little testimony of this one man whose life was changed from the outside in. It would appear to us, Lord, that he came to a point of believing you prior to his coming to you because of something he heard or something he saw. May we be mindful that people hear us and people see us. May we act in a Christ-like way of reaching out to people, not shrinking away from them. Help us, Father, to be filled with thanksgiving for the great healing that you've given to us by the day you saved us and brought us unto yourself and brought us into your family. Continue to work in and through us, we pray. Bless our week with opportunities to share of the goodness and greatness of your wonderful gift. And may we see someone come to trust you this week as Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I went 15 minutes over.